Today's date is probably circled.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Tens of thousands of workers are no doubt keeping glued to the latest from Chrysler. The federal government gave the automaker until today to come up with a financial plan. But Chrysler had to find consensus among creditors and the U.S. Treasury, and talks broke down between all of them early this morning. Now bankruptcy's back on the table. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Chrysler's future is in the hands of roughly 40 hedge funds. Chrysler owes its creditors almost $7 billion. It borrowed most of that money from banks, and earlier this week, those banks agreed to take $2 billion in cash from the federal government and just walk away. But the hedge funds balked, and they own almost a third of Chrysler's debt. Eric Merkel's an independent auto industry analyst. He says the president is using the threat of bankruptcy to force their hand.
It's trying to get the bondholders to capitulate. If they don't, I think, you know, the Obama administration and Chrysler are fully prepared to file for bankruptcy, and it will happen.
But Rebecca Lindland, director of automotive research for Global Insight, says even in a controlled bankruptcy, there are big risks.
It's like surgery. You could run into some kind of unforeseen complication, and the whole thing explodes and the patient dies.
That patient employs 54,000 people in the U.S. In bankruptcy, a federal judge could force recalcitrant hedge funds to take the government's deal. Chrysler would continue operating, and Fiat would still sign on as a partner. And the government would back Chrysler's warranties. And if nothing went wrong, a new, leaner Chrysler could emerge quickly. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, across town in Detroit, a committee of General Motors bondholders has offered to take a 58% stake in a restructured GM. That's in exchange for their $27 billion in debt. World markets on an upswing today. European shares are up 1-3% at this hour. Asian markets surged 3% and 4%. The Dow gained more than 2% yesterday. The Nasdaq up 2.25%. S&P 500 about 2.1%. Stock futures are pointing to some gains today. They like what the Federal Reserve had to say, the fallout perhaps reversing very slowly. The central bank board just wrapped up a two-day policy session, keeping rates next to nothing. But with all the money it's infused into the economy, the Fed is keeping a close eye on inflation, as is the Treasury Department and Wall Street and Congress. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us right now. Chris, we're hearing the word hyperinflation being tossed around, and I know what inflation is, but what's this hyperinflation?
People have different definitions, but it's the worst of the 1970s. So it's double-digit inflation, and there's just concerns because the Fed has been pumping the system full of money to try and turn this economy around. And, you know, I just don't see it. In the GDP report that came out this week, we saw that prices are stable. But I have to tell you something. Now, we have to make a little bit of a side tour here, but I just have to highlight a report that came out this week, Steve, because I still think it's an amazing number. So the Fed funds rate, right, the benchmark interest rate,
that's right,
is somewhere between 0.25%. I think it's zero. So let's say it's zero, right?
Yeah.
So the ideal, the perfect benchmark interest rate at this particular point in our history should be minus 5%.
Minus.
Now,
How do you go there? Does that mean they start giving you money back?
Well, I would hope so. It's pretty hard to get a negative interest rate. It's pretty hard to get interest rates below zero. But this is a very well-respected measure. It's called the Taylor Rule. Okay, we're not going to get minus 5% interest rates. I mean, you just can't do it. It's mind-boggling. But it does support the efforts by the Fed to be buying long-term treasuries, to be buying debt, sort of be doing all these extraordinary actions that they have been taking. And by the way, that's going to be a big part of the discussion that they've had this week of continuing those extraordinary actions.
All right. It's our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, joining us this morning. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
More infections of swine flu worldwide. The virus that's plaguing Mexico and other countries has sales of respiratory masks on the rise. Two leading U.S. makers of those masks, Kimberly-Clark and 3M, are ramping up production to keep up with heavy demand at drugstores.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear unique perspectives on global events and American culture at americanpublicmedia.org/poetry.
With questions about the future of the American auto industry, Detroit just can't seem to win. And poor Detroit Lions, they can't win, even in the offseason. Ever since last weekend's NFL draft, critics have kicked them around for signing a first overall pick for almost $42 million. That's nearly a third more than last year's first big pick. And the league is facing a rising backlash over rookie price inflation. The scorecard from Joel Rose.
Detroit went 0-16 last year, which is why the team was able to pick Matthew Stafford. Earlier this week, the Lions' new quarterback read the top 10 list on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Number 8. If the Lions win one game this year, I'm a hero.
Exactly.
Regardless, he'll definitely be rich. Stafford is slated to earn more than anybody in the league. The NFL commissioner has said it's, quote, ridiculous to reward untested rookies with enormous contracts. Yet, teams keep doing it year after year.
That seems to be the trade-off that the NFL has lived with.
Brian Goff teaches economics at Western Kentucky University. He says the NFL pays more for its rookies compared to other sports leagues, but the players have less mobility down the line.
If he does pan out, well, you've got him pretty much as long as you want him.
NFL owners are likely to push for a rookie salary cap next year, but the players' union and high-powered agents are expected to push back just as hard. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
A lot of high-paid athletes don't have a mortgage problem, but many Americans do. The U.S. Senate is expected to reject today a so-called mortgage cram-down bill that would have let bankruptcy judges rewrite mortgages and lower monthly payments. You can learn more about the cram-down process at our website. Our whiteboard video is inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.